Up next, Desiree Heiliger speaks with Cowlitz Tribal Chair Bill Lyle, as well as Cowlitz Tribal activist Terry Graves, about the exploratory mining in the Gifford-Pinoche National Forest and the fight to stop a crystal geyser plant on the Cowlitz River.
This past Wednesday, I spoke by phone with Bill Lyle, chairman of the Cowlitz Indian Tribe, about the exploratory drilling that's going on in the Gifford-Pinoche National Forest in close proximity to the Goat Rocks Wilderness area, which carries particular cultural significance for the Cowlitz Indian Tribe. The drilling by the Canadian-owned mining company, Ascot USA, was permitted by the U.S. Forest Service in February 2018.
Yeah, that is a very important area. This is the Upper Green River watershed. It's a pristine watershed with virtually no modern impacts in the watershed beyond there. There's commercial harvest of timber up there, but virtually it's untouched. It's undammed water. It's tremendous habitat for the fisheries there, and maybe on the lower Columbia, it may be one of the more important tributaries providing unimpacted habitat. But beyond that, the risk of open-pit mining in our historic area there, a sacred area near Mount St. Helens, right adjacent to the traditional cultural property that is called Mount St. Helens for the Cowlitz and the Yakima people. It's critical that we limit this activity up there, and especially the risk of open-pit mining is frightening. Those industries are fraught with difficulty, and they leave a horrible mess. And the regulatory climate for mining, whether it's copper, gold, silver, diamonds, or whatever they're looking for, those laws are 120, 150 years old in some cases. So they're not aimed towards protection of any resources.
I know there's concerns also that there might be kind of toxic sludge ponds that could be constructed if open pit mining were allowed there. And it sounds like while exploratory drilling might sound relatively benign, that simply the permitting of exploratory drilling may be an important step toward getting approval for the actual mining.
Yeah, the other thing it does is they're hoping to find something. Whatever they find could drive the process even further and deeper into the process. And this land was acquired many years ago for conservation and recreation. And clearly that's not going to happen if there is any kind of mining effort there. It's going to take it out of that use for the next 100 years if there's any kind of mining activity. So this is a greater community concern, and we have worked with the local community on this as well. Since I know I've talked to Senator Cantwell and Senator Murray about this issue over the years, and we've worked with the local county commission, and we think there's better use for this land for the local community as well as the entire country and the general population. Public awareness is the most critical element in many of these cases here. And if there was a way to shift the land use here to strictly conservation and public use and recreation, then I think that's what we should do. And the Congress has the power to do that.
We spoke also about the tribe's involvement in a fight against the siting of a crystal geyser bottling plant in Randall, Washington, that would bottle an estimated 350,000 gallons a day of water from the Cowlitz River.
So it's an important water source for much of the southwest Washington. The local wells and such rely on that aquifer. More importantly, the initial amount that they specified is not likely the ultimate amount that they would be going for. I'm not sure what their limitations would be, but other than I believe they look at it as a hydraulic question rather than a question of water quality, and we're very concerned about the water quality issue. Primarily, this spring water is cold water that feeds the river, especially at low water time when the water temperatures are very high. The fish rely on the cooler water from the springs and the aquifer for their survival. And so the Cowlitz tribe is speaking on their behalf as much as we are the other parts of our community there.
Right. And this is, you know, coming pretty close on the heels of the major battle out in Cascade Locks regarding Nestle's bottled water plant. So it sounds like there was a significant setback for Crystal Geyser when some internal memos that they had written about, you know, their plans for forcing this plant through in the face of tremendous community resistance actually was inadvertently emailed to a reporter. And
it just exemplifies the corporate tactic in this industry. They are quick to highlight any deficiencies in the public water systems, the municipal water systems, and rightfully so. People need to be concerned about their municipal water, but the municipal water is highly regulated with regard to water quality, whereas bottled water is not that regulated, and they're almost self-regulated in many ways. So if there is a breach of water quality in a public source, it's immediately known. And likely, though, if there was a breach of water quality in a bottle plant, no one would ever know about it. Mm-hmm. And again, it's, you know, they're taking advantage of those issues, and many of the underserved and disadvantaged communities rely on public water, but they also, I think, their water service is probably less critical as far as the maintenance and the upkeep. And I think as a community, as a society, we need to put an emphasis on, more emphasis on reusable containers and municipal water. As I understand it, these bottled water plants utilize the majority of that water comes from municipal water, and so it creates a huge single-use waste train of plastic bottles that ultimately find their way into the environment. Much of it goes into the water, and even that plastic can find its way into a river and be ground into tiny particles, and it can appear in the ocean. And I've read now that we're not that far away from a time when there'll be more plastic in our oceans than there are fish now. So I think it's a major, maybe a time to rethink how we utilize our vital water resources and try to protect them better and put more emphasis on reuse and reclaim, but also avoid the single-use bottle water containers as much as possible.
So they're also talking about a bottling plant about the size of a Walmart with its own ecological footprint, with trucks coming and going and other disruptions to the ecosystem and to the community.
Yeah, and this plant does exemplify the massive production that it takes to put water in a bottle and move it in trucks up and down our freeways that are already jammed, and hauling this water to its market source somewhere far away from the Cowlitz River. And that's why we're fighting to keep our precious resource here. But also, we'd like to see a societal shift away from the plastic bottle use. And we're certainly working everywhere we can to do that as well.
On Friday, I spoke with Terry Graves, an enrolled Cowlitz Tribal member, a former park ranger at Mount Rainier and the Grand Canyon, who's been actively involved in the fight against Crystal Geyser.
You got involved in this campaign in May or June, which is when the first organizing meetings happened. Can you talk a little bit about some of the concerns that you brought to this campaign?
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, and thanks for getting this information out there. Speaking on behalf of myself as a concerned member of the tribe, but not speaking on behalf of the tribe, several of us, that, you know, we kind of gather that information, we go to the tribe, we introduce that information to them so then they can research and find out more information. Went to this meeting, and one of the concerns that we had when I learned about what was happening was with Crystal Geyser draining 400 gallons a minute was the proposed plan. 24 hours a day, it would drop the aquifer, drop the river temperatures, and affect our salmon. We also had concerns as indigenous people of the area. As native people, we don't work harder, we work smarter. And there's springs in the area, there's known to be village sites in the area, and along with that, we have burial sites in that area as well. So we had concerns about that, the heavy construction, the draining of the river, and just the fact that it would affect the environmental area of our indigenous lands. Just an amazing meeting, really supportive, have huge allies, made great friends with people that live in that area and love that area of Randall as we do.
And this is the meeting that kind of gave birth to the Lewis County Water Alliance, which has been kind of a big participant in the fight.
It did. There was standing room in the fire hall, and they had to actually set up speakers outside the fire hall so people could hear what was going on. I believe they think there was about 300 people in attendance at that meeting. The people of the area had concerns regarding not only the salmon like we had concerns of, but they also had concerns that with the draining of the aquifer, that it would drop their wells and they would have to totally redig a new well. You can't take a current well and just dig deeper, you have to start all over, and the cost that would be incurred to them. Other people actually had concerns about the noise, the traffic, and Crystal Geyser was really kind of sneaky. They came in and purchased the property for 3 times its assessed value, started permitting and asked with the Department of Ecology for test drilling sites for the springs. And so some people living across the street for where those test drillings were happening started to ask questions, and so that's where it kind of stemmed from.
It sounds like you accumulated a lot of perspective and organizing insights from the fight Cascade Locks against the Nestle's bottling plant there.
Yes, we had a couple representatives that came from Cascade Locks, and they wanted to share their kind of playbook that they had, helping us fight that fight. There's other places as well besides Cascade Locks. They won that battle there. There's an email that was sent accidentally by Crystal Geyser to a reporter of the Chronicle stating that they're looking for their unicorn site, the perfect site where nobody will be upset about us, I guess is how you can interpret that. But we found that there's also Crystal Geyser has some kind of not so great practices. They're owned by a pharmaceutical company in Japan, currently like Weed, California, their water rights with Crystal Geyser pretty much draining and affecting a sacred Mount Shasta down there.
Where they're taking about a million gallons a day from the area around Mount Shasta.
Yeah, I'm really hoping what we're doing in Lewis County there and working with the Water Alliance and the tribe opposing that Crystal Geyser plant is that it's going to set a precedent for just bottled water in general. One of the things that I always try to preach to people is that, you know, it's about convenience versus the next 7 generations of our people. And so carry a reusable water bottle, fill it up. If it's with you, don't think about purchasing water. I've also learned from some military friends that they're being instructed that water is the next big oil. And so real concerns on protecting our waters here in Washington State and the Pacific Northwest in general and keeping them safe for our generations here and for our land and for our four-legged relations, our elk, our deer, you know, our fish people, our salmon people, our smelt.
And I think this goes to the question of how can non-Native people act in solidarity? Perhaps we should really be looking at removing bottled water machines across the board from public buildings so that we are not collaborating in the privatization of water and that in many cases is coming from indigenous lands.
Absolutely. I was really proud at our last Cowlitz powwow this last 19th of October. And the powwow committee, I had talked to them about this, and they had refill stations for the dancers, for the drummers, for the bottled water was very limited. Definitely the Crystal Geyser water was removed from our gas station at the casino at Alane. And so really kind of being open and thinking about that. It's one step. We understand that it's, you know, the big bottled water that you have for water coolers, those can be reused, you know, refilled. Single use, it's damaging our oceans, our orca, our salmon, you know, we call orca the blackfish, Puget Sound's being affected. Those orca travel the West Coast, and so they're affected by the Columbia River and our Cowlitz River as well.
Right, and we saw Taliqua carrying her dead infant for what?
Yeah, I think it was 17 days.
17
it was
days.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been speaking today with Bill Iall, chairman of the Cowlitz Indian Tribe, and Cowlitz activist Terry Graves. Contact information for the Cowlitz Indian Tribe, you can go to the website cowlitz.org. The website for the Lewis County Water Alliance is saveourvalley.org. And for more information on mining in the Gifford Pinchot Wilderness Area, go to cascadeforest.org. This has been Desiree Helligers for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
This is Joe Clement for the Old Mole Variety Hour. That was Desiree Helligers speaking with Bill Lyle and Terry Graves. As an addendum, in August, the Lewis County Board of Commissioners passed a temporary short-term moratorium on water extraction in the county while they study the impacts.